Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Chris Rossini, our co-host. Chris, good to see you today.
It is great to see you, Dr. Paul.
Good. We're going to talk a little bit today about the unsuccessful stimulus package sailing through the Congress. Well, I shouldn't say that, Chris, that it's a failure. It brings people together, you know, it brings the Democrats and the Republicans together in order to get this money out. So they have, and they have a lot of money to distribute. You know, they had $3 or $4 trillion already this year, and they always took a pause to get that onto the books. But now they're coming along, and this one is supposedly about $1.4 trillion, but they're dividing it up to try to get something passed that's absolutely necessary before the end of the year. So they'll get along to this point, and guess what? You see pictures and discussions between Pelosi and McConnell. So they're talking to each other, and that tells you that the money will be passed. I don't think that anybody should have any doubt that somebody's going to hold it up and say, hey, we are not going to spend it. It's too much money. You're going in the wrong direction. You've been trying this, not only for couple years or even this past year, but for a decade or even longer, because this is the type of economic policies that we have followed. But right now, the big talk is, will the stimulus pass and how much is that going to happen? And I come down on the side of being a skeptic on this. I just think that in one way it's going to pass, but that's a disappointment, not just a skepticism. But where I'm skeptic is it's not going to do any good. If anything, it's just going to do more harm. And that's the problem that we've been facing already in this last terrible, terrible year. Of course, it was that virus. The virus did it. And yes, there was a virus. Some people deny there was a virus, but there was a bad cold virus and it caused a lot of harm, but it was way blown out of proportion. But it was that excessive reaction that sort of set this whole year off. And amazingly, the Fauci's of the world and Bill Gates of the world were able to really stir up some fear, and the fear-mongering spread, and actually is worldwide now. And the fear-mongering is probably the most serious thing. So the first reaction was to have lockdown. You know, if it's so bad, we have to do something. We're government, and you just can't sit by. Our people need help. So they invented this thing of the lockdown. And already people were being locked out of work because of the Federal Reserve bubble getting ready to burst and having burst in many places. That they did this with an idea that it would help things, but you'd wonder if that's really true. Some people think it isn't true, that they were actually trying to help somebody. So then they have this lockdown, and guess what? Can you believe it? Unemployment rates went up. People weren't allowed to go to work, and they were laid off, and the country goes into a slump. So the government had to do something, and that, of course, was the initiation of this massive $3-4 trillion of spending, which was all based on a hoax that it was going to do any good. And the lockdown didn't do any good. It did a lot more harm. And guess what, though, Chris? I think a lot of people are saying that now, even on the liberal station. They're starting to talk about, you know, a more understanding about the lockdown is not our friend, and the unemployment rate goes up. So on one hand, what government does, they ignore their participation in creating this problem, and then that's the excuse to go ahead and do more of it. So they come up with this constant stimulation. Of course, they've been doing that with QE already for a decade, and it hasn't solved any of the problems they were trying to solve. And they totally ignore the hoax that the Federal Reserve is a friend. So I think we're in the midst of a major crisis. I think, Chris, that this whole thing about a stimulus package being very, very important. The only thing is if tomorrow the stimulus package was canceled, you know, it would be economically a sound thing to do if they would release creative energy and went back to a free market. But that's not going to happen. So if the stimulus package ended tomorrow and they quit doing it and you didn't have this wonderful bipartisanship, it would play havoc. You know, it would be like having somebody that's addicted to drugs just say, no more, you've had too much, we're taking it away from you. So it would be very, very bad. So they're between the rock and the hard place. And I'd like to talk a little bit today, Chris, on how they've made their errors and why we shouldn't have too much expectation that the stimulus is going to stimulate anything other than the benefits going to the powerful special interests.
Yes, that's exactly what happened the last time, and it'll happen again. And you mentioned McConnell and Pelosi, and you know, you've always said we live in an empire of lies, and in this empire of lies, we have lots of political theater. The Republicans and Democrats, they outwardly fight with one another, and everyone sees it. And the people themselves, they're like sports fans. It's like red jerseys versus blue jerseys. They fight with one another, too. But when it comes to the expansion of government power and the shrinking of individual liberty, they are all harmonious. It's all bipartisan. When they want to raise the debt ceiling, it's bipartisan. Government has to keep spending, it's bipartisan. They want to go to war, you got to be patriotic. They both want to go to war. They want the wars to continue, both of them. Can't bring the troops home now. And when it comes to the surveillance of every American, it's bipartisan. So, but you know, I read a lot. There's people that complain, oh, these two parties, they hate each other so much. What can we do to fix this division? What can we do to get them to work together? No, they're doing just fine. It's us, we're the ones that are suffering. And you know, we have to stop this pattern of them helping us because they're helping us into bankruptcy.
Very, very good, you know. One of the things they were able to do is there was the reaction to the virus, which was an overreaction, and this was you know, scaring a lot of people. But of course, I think the data that was coming out had to be skewed toward you know, stirring up a lot of trouble. And there's a lot of evidence to that. You know, the way they measured cases and infections and even the death certificates, they made it sound, you know, a lot worse than it really was. But they really needed to build up a lot of fear, and they had to have cheerleaders. And I would say that the two most successful cheerleaders, in a very, very negative sense, the propagandists, would be Fauci and Gates, you know, because they had credibility, and of course the media was on their side. Anything they said was gospel. And even though they'd change their mind every couple weeks again, you know, they're still looked at as the experts, and they're the ones who stir up the trouble. But you know, something else that gets mentioned, but I think was a more powerful motivation for this mess, was the fact that there was hatred toward Trump that motivated a lot of this. Because Trump was, if anything, I think somewhat sympathetic to a more market approach to this, but it was just total destruction with the people who hated Trump. So every time they wanted to make things worse, if the country was failing and there's unemployment and there's a recession and all, they could blame Trump. And I think that was part of it. So even if there was one good policy that could help, if Trump would get the credit, they wouldn't do it. They even made use of the bailouts and the stimulus packages. Well, we can't pass it now. We can't do that. We can't allow the vaccine to come out because Trump will get credit. So there was a big argument. So then they had to have the artificial programming for the vaccine. And that still bothers me because it was a little too rapid. Vaccines aren't quite so simplistic, and we don't know exactly where it'll come from because there's a pretty good history of rapidly developed vaccines not being quite as advantageous as people believe. So we had the politics mixed up in there, and then we had the profiteering mixed up, the people that get to manufacture the vaccines, and then we have the authoritarians, the Marxists, the anti-fascists, the people who just want more authority are jumping on this because, you know, from top down, there are people who might not have you know, an advantage that they're going to become a billionaire if they participate, but there are so many at local levels. It wasn't just, you know, the people, it's the CDC and guys like Gates. They were an instigator, But there were so many people that were engulfed in this and tempted with this power they had. So city people and mayors and county officials and mayor and governors around the country, there were some good and they stood out and they stood their ground. But there were a lot who just loved this. I guess if you wanted to point out to the two states where the greatest abuse was of political power, would be California and New York. And hopefully the truth will come out enough where those individuals who helped make this thing much worse will be discredited. Some of them who joined this and shouted about this, I see them and I get criticized for this. Well, I'm too easy to give them an excuse. Some of them, I just think, you can't have millions and millions of people who understand maybe the conspiracy behind all this. So a lot of people were well-intended and say, how can we not bail them out? How can we avoid printing money like crazy? Because it will be helpful to some in this sort of thing. But that of course, means that they were misled. And this, all this mess that we've outlined here came on top of a monetary system that sort of set the stage for this. It already started, you know, the collapse of the financial bubble and the stock market bubble. And but those principles, they weren't invented by a Fauci or a Gates in the last minute and say there was a big bubble out there. But it was created by a system of economic policy and economic understanding where our universities accepted radical Keynesianism, and now a lot of them in the universities have accepted pure socialism. So they're not even embarrassed anymore to say, well, we want socialism. So that's where the real problem is. And there's a lot of innocent people being brought into that. So the only way I can see the answer to that is to refute their economic policies and for us, Chris, to argue the case for free markets and sound money rather than saying that it's all just one person for political reason. But it all comes together and they have made a mess of it. And I think we're living in very dangerous times because of it.
Yes. And, you know, people who have been watching us for a while, I'm sure have noticed that, you know, on Fridays, we often talk about the Federal Reserve. And that is not by accident. There's lots of economic things that we can talk about. But really, there's nothing more important. Because, since at least 2008, and we can go back further in 2008, but 2008 was a significant time. We have seen a long train of failure when it comes to our monetary system. We've seen QE, QE2, you know, more QEs that we even forgot about. The Fed has been buying treasuries. They're buying junk mortgage-backed securities. They do whatever the heck they do in secret because nobody knows. And we've also had zero interest rates, which is not a market phenomenon. Debt and deficits that are in numbers that are uncountable. And they're sending checks to people and to corporations and having ridiculous ideas like modern monetary theory and universal basic income. Yeah. This is a long, long train of failure. And these lockdowns happened at a time, not in a healthy situation. People, you know, when you lose your job, you hope to have some savings. Nobody has savings. People don't have it. Corporations don't have it. Government surely doesn't have it. So this is a failing monetary system. And that is why we keep the focus right where it belongs on the Federal Reserve.
Yes. And there's a few points I want to make about that because it is in a practical sense explaining why what the Fed does causes so much trouble. The first thing is people have to come around to the agreement that the creation of new money, fiat money, and distributing it has nothing to do with creating wealth. Even though there are Federal Reserve notes and people accept them, and if you had a couple $100 Federal Reserve notes in your wallet, you can go out and spend them. But the truth is, by just duplicating them circulating them in the economy does not increase wealth. Matter of fact, it does exactly the opposite because it distorts wealth, it distorts investments, and it creates bubbles. It leads to really a system of government and economic finance that ruins the most important pricing in a free market or in any market, and that is interest rates. interest rates tell us a whole lot. If you have a free market and interest goes up, that means there are less savings. And the signal is sent that maybe the people aren't buying. So interest rates tell people to do the wrong thing. If people, if there's excessive investments already and interest rates are going up, they might back off. But what if the Fed comes along and makes interest rates low or zero? This encourages them to do anything and everything, and then they end up like today. They have so much cash, they just store it away and they put it back to the Fed. The Fed holds them and pay them more interest than you can get on your own CDs. So interest rate, monopoly control of interest rates, which is the tool that the Fed uses, and the supply of money, really is very, very detrimental. And then along with this, the result of all this is, instead of making good investment, there's a lot of malinvestment. People do things that they might not do otherwise. They build too much of some stuff, you know, and then it gets to the point where there has to be a correction. In other words, a lot of bubbles, and there are a lot of bubbles out there, and then the corrections have to come. And certainly going to the Fed and saying, keep it going, keep printing, you can't do that now. Don't ever try to shrink your balance sheet. Don't ever try to go back to normal things and normal interest rates. It won't work. And on the short run, they're right. And that was President Trump's position. On the short run, it does seem to help. You know, in this last year, if the Fed had done nothing, it might have been, you know, it might have gotten worse. It might be a lot better by now because all the bad investments could be liquidated and a lot of the debt liquidated. But right now, no liquidation of the mistakes. You know, there's a cancer out there, an economic cancer, but no, don't try to get rid of the cancer. The surgery, you know, you have a recovery period. So it's on and on. And if the business cycle and the understanding of the Federal Reserve is not understood, then even trying to solve the problem of a virus, which is now the enemy of the people, makes it more difficult to take care of. So you put it all together, and whether it's the virus and the ridiculous lockdowns or whatever they do, and the Federal Reserve bubble, I tell you what, people are going to get poorer. And Mises always said, if you have a system like that, you will get rid of the middle class. And America always was known for the largest, wealthiest middle class. And that's what's happening right now. The middle class is getting liquidated, going bankrupt. So this, and we haven't changed basic policies. There's only probably a handful or two in all of Washington who would say it, but in a political sense, it becomes practically impossible. So that is the reason when people ask me to try to project, I think it's going to get a lot worse, and the market will do the liquidating. And it'll probably be through the destruction of the value of the dollar. And I think we're in the early stages of rapid destruction of the dollar, which means that we are going to see a lot of price inflation, CPI and PPI type of inflation, prices going up. So that is the reason. But to me, the most important thing is to get as many people as possible to understand it, because you can't give them the medicine they need if they don't understand this is the medicine you need, and this is what we have to do, and maybe we can head off the more violent type of changes that would come if we continue to do what we're doing right now.
That's right. Let's hope so, Dr. Paul. I'll finish up by saying, what you know, when something is contrary to the truth, contrary to nature, it's a scheme, and schemes can be sustained temporarily. How long can it be sustained? It's a matter of scale. If it's the size of your neighborhood, it could maybe last a few weeks. If it's the size of a state, it'll last a little longer. Country, even longer than that. If it's the size of the globe, what we have right now, the scheme can last several lifetimes. But no matter the size, it's always temporary, because it's in contrary to the truth. So towards the end of schemes, schemers get very aggressive. And, you know, I can't help but think of that when I think of what transpired this year. And it's because they want to maintain their lifestyle. They believe it's their birthright. They're special human beings. And the scheme itself becomes their religion. So what happens next? Boy, if we only knew. We know that they want some kind of great reset where the entire planet becomes a big prison. But it doesn't have to turn out that way. We could get the exact opposite for all we know. You know, if we stick to the truth, stick to the ideas of liberty, that's what we're here to do. And, you know, perhaps things turn out the exact opposite of what they expect.
Very good. I'm going to follow up on that a little bit, too, because this whole scheme has created this situation where once they create a problem and they have to deal with the pandemic and all this, we have to have, you know, quarantines and rush through vaccines and do all of this. But then we have to have a control of the people. We don't have to protect liberty anymore. What we have to do is make sure people don't talk to each other and they don't associate with people. So then there's the banning of getting close to people and talking to people. At the same time, everybody's going to wear a mask. That doesn't do any good. So that goes on and on. But in the meantime, the economic result of this is they are banned from going to work. And there are millions of people now out of work because of this. And so their scheme isn't working very well. It's making the problems much worse. And this is why the lockdown has been so damaging. So what does the scheme tell us to do now? Oh, it's a problem and people need money. They need to pay their rent and all this, which they do. But the problem isn't the shortage of money. It's the shortage of money in the right places and the right investment and the job. But to totally have a system that is designed to make people stay at home and lose their jobs and unemployment skyrocket. I mean, and then they say, oh, we have to get jobs for people. And if you're not willing to vote for the handouts of $2,000 a month, more money they could make in a job, then you hate people and you don't care about the well-being of all the people. But at the same time, what you do is when you come in and spend the money to solve the problem of the unemployment, which the government created, I'll tell you what, it might help for another month or two. But it's going to end badly because it's going to be participating in the final blow-off, and that is where the people leave the money that they have and they put it into things that they think might be worthwhile. And I really do believe that we're in the beginning of that. So government is generally the problem because if you ask people, what is the purpose of government? I would think 95% of the people would say, well, it's to take care of us. It's to make sure we have a job and make sure that we have food and housing and free education and free medical care. That's predominant because that's what we have in Washington. Even conservatives who want to preach the gospel and move in that direction, you know, there's a limit because once you go over that limit, that everybody piles on, conservatives and anybody else and the voters, that they don't care about us because they won't give us all free stuff. Well, they're going to run out of free stuff, and it's not going to work. So anyway, we want to thank everybody today for tuning in to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.